It's that time on a Thursday. You never know quite when he's going to show. Today, it's the back end of the 5 o'clock hour. You can find all he's up to for Comcast Sportsnet online. CSNNW.com. Join the conversation on Twitter. The handle is at Aaron J. Fentress. He's talking Ducks. Now he's a budding radio show host. Mr. Fentress, how are you?
What's up, man? I wouldn't go that far. I'm just filling in for a couple of days. Hopefully, maybe someday I can do radio. We'll see. But it was fun, man. It's kind of crazy. It's a lot different than TV, obviously. I just did 2 hours here at 7:50. But it's fascinating what you do, man. It was interesting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I've always had a rule about show prep. I'm a little bit of a psycho. I get in at 10 o'clock and put in like 5 hours to do my 3 hours. What'd you think of your first taste?
I thought it was interesting. Like, the only really difficult part for me, because, I mean, I don't know how I sounded. I know I can talk. Like, you're going to talk for 12-minute intervals, and then we'll go to break and come back and talk some more. I mean, that's cake, right? It's just all the mechanics of it, you know, going to callers and pushing this button and that button and trying to not lose your train of thought. But, no, it was cool. It was fun. We delved heavily into Neil Gate. I sort of gave African-Americans experience, you know, in terms of racism, how it shaped your view of the whole thing. You know, very plentiful here in this market. Didn't get the much duck stuff because that blew up. Callers were calling in, but tomorrow I'm on again. I'll get the more duck stuff. But no, it was fun, man. I mean, it's an interesting profession, but it's cool.
All right. Well, and by the way, welcome to the host category. Something you've never tried before. Let's get to what really matters. The Cubs clinched the division.
Oh, they did.
So, how you feeling now that they don't have to go through a wild card? They're in, and in baseball, right or wrong, once you're in, you got a shot.
Yeah, exactly. And they're playing great baseball. I think they have the winningest record, at least in the NL, since the break. The most runs, the best ERA or whatever, the best on-base percentage, the best batting average. I mean, they're like leading in like 6 or 7 categories since the break. So they're hitting their stride finally. I think they have a great shot, you know, to repeat. But it's a crapshoot. I mean, last year they experienced some luck to get in. I mean, to get into the World Series and then, of course, to win the World Series. So anything can happen. But, you know, when you're a Cubs fan, I think I told you last year, I'm giving a 5-year window. They got the title right away. So everything else is gravy for me. I'm a chill. But I say that now until Game 4 of any series. No matter what it is, 2-1 either way, and then I'll be gripping. But I'm glad they're playing well.
All right, let's get over to some football. I know you take a peek at the betting line. I mean, I don't. I only play for coupons. But after losing on the road as a 15-point favorite, I looked at this game. Were you at all surprised when you saw the number was Oregon a 15-point favorite against this Cal team, even at Autzen?
I am very surprised. And they just lost to USC by 10. Yes, it was at home, but USC is ranked in the top 10 for a reason. The Ducks clearly have demonstrated an ability to shoot themselves in the foot. It didn't hurt them against two mediocre teams, Wyoming and Nebraska, but it bit them in the butt at ASU, which is not a great team. If I had to bet on it, I would take the 15 points and just figure that Wilcox was going to come in there with a defensive plan to try and take away the run and force those young receivers to beat them. Charles Nelson, I'm told, is very iffy. You know, very, very iffy. I would be surprised if he played. He was still in a walking boot at ASU and rolling around on a scooter. So that's not a good sign. And here's another thing, too. I think the Greatwood factor is going to be fascinating because Steve Greatwood knows, obviously, the ins and outs of everyone on that offensive line. And you know he's giving intel to the defense on how to deal with each and every one of those guys. And also, he knows everything about every guy in that front seven except for the two freshman nose guards. So he's going to be able to give some insight and intel in terms of how to deal with those guys. So I wonder, you know, for me, I kind of think he's worth 3 points. I would definitely take the 15.
No, I actually put the number at 4 or 5 before I found it. So there you go.
So you bet it. You bet it.
As a rule, I don't bet against what I consider my teams. It's just pure evil. I'd be willing to sell my soul, but not for a $50 parlay.
But you're not betting them to lose. You're just betting them to not cover.
Oh, so I see you're completely willing to make a deal with the devil. All right. You know, you mentioned the receivers. And, you know, as that ASU game moved along, I realized, wow, Johnny Johnson, Dillon Mitchell, Jalen Redd in there. That's a raw receiving core. But and how much and in what ways do you think they really missed Nelson last week?
So, you know, what was coming out of the post game was some misalignments, some missed assignments, some not-so-perfect routes, some drop balls, you know, some things that were supposed to go one way went the other way because of inexperience. And that was my fear about this receiving core. And that's why I went from 8 wins to 7 wins this season, because I believe that Carrington was worth a game. And then you factor in no Nelson, that's a blow. And it doesn't matter how talented the young guys are. You know, there's a reason why seniors and juniors are typically better than freshmen and sophomores, just the nuances, just the details. And that came back to bottom. There were a couple times in that game where Herbert threw post, the receiver ran go. Herbert threw go, the receiver ran post. You know, whose fault is that? I'm willing to bet it's the receiver's fault. My experience as a receiver and as a coach, and with Herbert's experience, you know, I'm willing to bet those were receiver mistakes. So, yeah, I think it bit him. I think having someone like Charles who might be more precise and more reliable, someone who's played with Herbert, might have meant, you know, they don't go 1 for 11 on third down. Maybe they go instead 5 for 11. You know, it might be worth that much. And then maybe obviously he breaks one because of his elite run after the catch ability, which when you look at this receiving core, name a guy in the core other than Taj who's ever demonstrated run after catch. And even Taj's run after catch has really come up with run after handoff. I mean, he really hasn't done much as a receiver run after catch, right? So losing that hurts. And I think it could hurt him again this week. It's a problem. But the, you know, the upside, though, is in a year or two, they're going to be phenomenal.
No, these guys, you could see the upside. Talk with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. So you were actually the first one I saw point out. Yeah, they got 14 penalties. Let's not forget the 3 Graham turned down.
Right.
I think you use the word ludicrous. Be it the timing or kinds of penalties, what did you hear from the coaches and players about this and how a team trying to rise from what happened last year? You can't afford all those yards.
No, when you get 5, I think they have 5 false starts in the first half, 4 in the first quarter. You know, that's taking 1st and 10 and making it 1st and 15. You know, that's taking maybe it's 2nd and look at all the down distances. Maybe it's 2nd and 4. Now you're 2nd and 9. I mean, those things hurt. They add up, and it's tough to overcome. And that's the main reason why they only scored 7 legit points in the first half. I mean, that second touchdown came, via a muffed punt. If that guy doesn't muff a punt, I'm willing to bet Oregon doesn't score in the first half. They hadn't done anything to indicate they were going to score again with all those penalties and the way they were playing, but they got a gift to make it 17-14. They picked things up in the second half. They had way fewer penalties, actually, in the second half, so that was a good sign, but they had some key ones at bad moments. We saw Taggart go off on 21st James, getting that silly spiking penalty, which gave 15 extra yards to ASU on the kickoff when it was 31-28. So, you know, I don't know. And the thing is, it's not like this came out of nowhere. We saw it. You know, they had 28 coming into this game, which I think was 2nd most in the conference. So we saw the problem in the last 2 games when they had double digits, I think 12 and I think 11. I can't remember exactly what it was. And then they got worse after talking about how they were going to fix it. So why should we believe it's going to be fixed? Now, they could turn the corner, but I don't know. They're averaging 10.5, which if it finished at that, I thought it would finish over 10. But if it finished at 10.5, that would be by far the worst season worth of penalties since at least 2000. I went back to 2000, and the team record since 2000 is 8.8, 2015. So I don't know. You know, it's gonna be fascinating to see if they can turn around. They need to get it 8 or 9. 8 or 9 is manageable. Double digits, that just hurts. That hurts a team that's young and that's going to play a lot of close games.
Yeah, and it's also important to remember that average is with a 4 in there against Wyoming.
Right. Yeah.
On Talking Ducks, I heard you guys open talking about mistakes that were damaging. Then Joey says, I'm going to hijack this segment and kind of hit on what went right. You know, the great touchdown throw and catch to James, right. The play of Jalen Jelks. The defense did give him a shot at the end. So the two theories here, there are no moral victories at that level, but is it important to at least recognize some of the positive steps that they've taken?
I think so. If your perspective on this season is the same as mine, which, of course, it should always be, then, I think if you come into this season and you were drinking all the Kool-Aid and getting caught up in Willie Taggart fever, which is a legitimate fever, then you might have been thinking, man, we're 3-0, we're ready, we're going to contend, we're going to make a run. But I think if you looked at the team for what it is, it's a young team. Like, off the top of my head, they're looking at returning 17 or 18 starters next year, which is a ton. And probably 85% of the guys in the rotation are going to be back next season. So, to me, enjoy the process. Enjoy the growth, because you're going to see it. Like, I think you're going to see incremental growth this season, that next year when they come in with all those returning players could take a big leap. Is it going to take a big leap into, you know, being a top 10 team? I don't know. We'll see. But at least I think next year they're going to be ranked the entire season. And then maybe the next year, if Herbert comes back throughout the year, you maybe have a chance to make a legitimate run. So, you know, I would just say, from my perspective, they are what they thought they were. They're going to be spectacular at times. They're going to be exciting at times. They're going to show flashes. But, man, they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to do things wrong in a very, very tough conference loaded with a lot of really good quarterbacks that are going to get out to Oregon, and they're going to drop their share, man. You know, they just are. I believe it. But I don't think it's all bad if you view it through the right prism.
All right. He is Aaron Fentress, secretly looking for a new career path. You can find his work at CSNNW.com on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Always appreciate your time, my friend. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Appreciate it. And starting next week, we're going to be NBC Northwest. NBC Sports,
really?
Northwest. We're shifting. Yep. So you practice saying that. Aaron Fentress with NBC Sports Northwest. Finally, we're shedding.
All right.
The CSN and Comcast nonsense.
All right. I have written it down, which usually means I'm 50-50 to remember it. Hey, travel safe.
Sounds good.
We'll see you soon.
All right, bye.